Open up your Bibles to, we're going to start in Matthew 13. Now, I've really got three lessons to do today, so you're in big trouble. Not really. I think we'll be out of here on time. And we are going to take communion today at the end of the service. Many of you, I'll just say ahead of time, many of you will be healed today when you take communion. Amen. We're not here to play games. We're not here to have church. The power of the living God is going to flow through your body when you take communion. And you will be healed in Jesus' name. Same for you at home. If you want to go ahead now, and you don't have to have a special wafer. It doesn't have to be a special kind of liquid. You can do it with a saltine and water. It's not the element. It's not the what. It's the who. We this do in remembrance of him. We'll teach us a little bit at the end of the service. But if you want to go ahead and get something ready, a piece of bread, a little water, grape juice, whatever you have, you can take communion with us. You can right at the same time. Hallelujah. Okay, so I want you to pinch together two places. We're going to look at the same subject. Yes, sir. I don't always tell the title at the beginning, but I'm going to this time because I want it to be in your mind. The title, You Be the One Who Believes. In every situation, that's where God is training us and has been bringing us. And I don't care what the situation is. He has you there because he has faith in you. Now, I don't care what's going on. You're there because you're the one that believes. See, we've got too many sacred cows still in the church. And it's not that they're, when you make these statements, it's not that they're totally wrong, but they're still wrong. They're in the Bible. Jesus plainly said, when they said, why couldn't we heal that boy when we prayed? Well, what was it? Because of your unbelief. See, so that's true. You say, well, unbelief will stop the power of God. But here's my question. Did their unbelief stop the power of God through Jesus? Absolutely not. He was the one who was there to believe. You hear me? Their unbelief didn't affect him. Here's another one. We're going to look at, this is one we're going to look at first. Well, even Jesus, you know, because of their unbelief, even Jesus, he couldn't always do many mighty works. And the end result of that, as you walk away, you think, well, yeah, their unbelief, you know, he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Well, we're going to examine that today. And by the time we're done, you'll never have that excuse again. Never again. I thought I was completely free of that one. I really did. And within this past week, not this wasn't Nathan, this was another deal. But within this past week, one time the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, part of what I'm doing, he says, I'm scooping the dregs of religion from the bottom of your barrel. Y'all know what dregs are? It's even after you've poured the wine out of a barrel. If it's been sitting there a long time, there's some sediment. There's some dregs left. Now he's reaching down. He's not even willing to leave any dregs. He's going to scoop out everything. You're going to be a raw, lean, mean in a good way, to mean to the devil, delivering machine. Delivering the power of God without any dregs in your barrel. Amen. So we're going to look at this in three places. This is where Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth to preach. And that's where it is, where it says he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And one of them says he marveled at their unbelief. You got that? So this is going to be quite a bit of scripture. You can handle it. It's good for you. It's food for you. So Matthew 13, let's read the event in starting in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, now that's where he grew up. One of them, in Luke's account, it specifically tells you Nazareth. He's gone home to preach. It'd be like me going home to Shawnee to preach, my hometown where I was born. Okay. Well, he was born in Bethlehem. Okay. Where he grew up anyway. So when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, if you will read all Matthew's account, Mark's account, and Luke's account, you'll find out he had been doing mighty works before he come here. And in fact, one of these, it says, hey, do the same works that we heard you did in Capernaum, do them here. And basically, you could add hot shot. They were kind of mocking him, to be honest with you. Okay? But he was already, his fame had already spread. This man is doing mighty works. Now they're hearing him with their own ears, and they're going, my goodness, where did he get this wisdom? Is not this the carpenter's son? Jesus grew up there. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? I mean, they watched this man grow up in their streets. They watched him grow up with brothers and sisters. Okay? Are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? Now notice, and they were offended in him. Modern language. Who do you think you are? We know you. We know you're... Now, they thought Joseph was his daddy. We know you. We know your mom and dad. We know your brothers. We watched you grow up in this town. Who do you think you are? Because in Luke's account, see, you got to get all three of these together before you really get the picture. In Luke's account, which we'll get to in a minute, that's where he delivers the articles of war. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and so forth and so on. This day is this scripture. He is announcing himself as the Messiah. We'll get to Luke's account here in a little bit. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And here's the famous verse. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Okay? Now, it does not say he did not do mighty works. It says he did not do many mighty works. All right? Just keep that in your thinking. Now go to Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at the same thing in Mark's account. Starting in verse 1. I hear pages turning still. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no might. Now notice how it's worded here. He could there do no mighty work save. That word save, if you look it up, today you'd use the word except. He could do no mighty work except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now let me rephrase that a little. Of the ones he laid his hands on, how many got healed? All of them. The problem is there's just a few. And why is there just a few? Because they were offended in him. The whole town, they knew who Jesus was. He grew up here. We watched him grow up here. Who does he think he is? We know him. The reason he could do no mighty work except, see that word save? Means except. He laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. But the only reason he could only do a few There's only a few that came. But I want you to get it out of your... Oh, now, read this, then I'll say that sentence. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Would you say the town was saturated with unbelief? Did their unbelief stop him from laying hands on the sick that did come? No, he did it anyway. And let me ask you this. The ones that he laid his hands on, did they get healed? So there, even though he marveled, I mean, if you read them all in context, he was already having big meetings. I mean, people were coming, many hundreds, maybe thousands coming to be healed, and he healed them all. And he comes to his hometown, and it says a few. I don't know how many a few are. In the Old Testament, it says there were a few saved by the flood of Noah, and that's eight. So maybe eight-ish, maybe 8 to 10. And here in other towns, might be hundreds. He marveled at their unbelief. That they wouldn't even come. Because they were just so sure who he was. But now the point is, even though he marveled at their unbelief, that did not stop him from believing. And it did not stop the power of God from flowing through him when he prayed. That's going to be you. I don't care if he's sin. See, one thing I've prayed, and you probably shouldn't pray this because they say, don't ever pray, like, don't send me to Africa because God will send you to Africa. One thing I've prayed, I've been to Africa. I'm not afraid of Africa. It's Shawnee I'm afraid of. Y'all do know OBU is in Shawnee. Oklahoma Baptist University is in Shawnee, you know. Glory to God. We thank God for the Baptists, you know. But I got my work cut out for me in Shawnee. Plus, they all know me. They all saw me. I mean, I'd go to Africa. I'll go to India, anywhere but Shawnee, Lord. But if he sends me to Shawnee, I mean, I'll go. You know. But you understand the point. My job, if he sends me, though, even though the town might be saturated with unbelief, that doesn't mean it needs to affect my believing. He didn't send me there to unbelieve. And he didn't send me there not to have results when I prayed either. And he's not sending you anywhere not to have results when you pray. Now see, we read those two accounts. We don't realize how bad this was. Now go to Luke's. Luke is a doctor. Luke likes details. Luke gives us a lot more information than what Matthew or Mark, either one, gave. Let's look at the same event. By the way, let me back it up just a little. Well, it's right after his temptation in the wilderness, but not immediately after, and you'll see why. So he's already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and then we'll see what happens here. In fact, we'll back up to verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. Did you get those last three words? For a season. Don't think the devil's not coming around to try you again. Just remember this, you beat him the last time, you're going to beat him the next time. Amen? All right, now verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now notice, there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now, if you go back and read Mark's account, you go back and read Matthew's account, you'll get more details about why. That why did a fame go out? Because he was healing them everywhere. Miracles were happening. Devils were being cast out. All kinds of people were coming in droves to be healed. And all of them that came got healed. Well, wouldn't a fame go out? You better believe a fame goes out. But now notice, verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Yeah, when he's not in his hometown. Boy, they glorified him. They glorified God. Amen? But now he's come home to Nazareth. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, now notice, this didn't just randomly open here. He found the place where it was written. He knew the message he was going to deliver. The Spirit of the Lord is, boy, I almost cry when I read this. Still, it affects me so much. This is the articles of war. This is why God baptized you in the Holy Ghost. This is why God's been having you mortify the flesh all of these years. He's about to send you into war. A warrior in the kingdom of light going to war against the kingdom of darkness. These are your articles of war. He said, Father, the same way you sent me, I'm sending them. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when they heard that in that Jewish congregation, every person there knew what that meant. The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is where all debts are canceled. I don't care what bad decisions you made. You may have lost your inheritance. You may have got into debt and you had to mortgage and sell your property. And now you're almost a slave working for somebody else. But on the day of Jubilee, all all debts are canceled. All is forgiven and every man is restored back to his original inheritance. Your original inheritance was to have dominion on this earth and serve the King of the Kings, King of Kings. Amen? He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them. Now, when he says he began to say, he said a lot more than this. But this was the essence of the message. What I just read to you. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the man. I am the one that has been. Many men have read that passage over the years. Not one of them stood up and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But Jesus is plainly standing up and saying, I am the man that Isaiah was prophesying about. I am that man. In your hometown, I am the Messiah. You're about to see what's going to happen here. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, here they go again. Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Now you see what I mean? His fame had gone out. He'd already been doing these mighty works. One of the cities he did them in was Capernaum. And they're going, we heard about your mighty works there. Prove to us. Here we go again. He just got through fighting the same fight with the devil. If thou be the Son of God. Now they're contesting him. Prove to us you are who you say you are. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. These next verses are not politically correct. If he was going to try and get along with them, he would never say these next verses. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent. In other words, not a single Jew got deliverance. Save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now that's, for in a Jewish mind, she's not a Jew, and she's not a man, and she's not married. We're going to the bottom of the rung. But she got her answer from God. They're mocking him, if you'll allow me. He's sort of mocking right back. Not mocking, that's not the right word. But he's putting it right back in their face. In other words, doubt has always been the problem with this covenant that the Jew has with God. Even back in Exodus, God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He says, not a single person got deliverance. He gives another one. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed. Now notice, saving Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile, doesn't even have a covenant with God. In plain English, he was saying that Gentile had more faith than any Jew in Israel. Oh, they loved that message. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they just loved him and gave him offerings, and they were filled with wrath and rose up and, now get this, and thrust him. They thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they were going to cast him down headlong. They're going to kill him. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. By the way, the Holy Ghost has not forgot how to do that. You may just pass through the midst of them. I don't know whether he blinds their eyes, makes you invisible, and do we really care? As long as you just pass through the midst of them and go your way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath. So that's the end of the... He just left. Now, have you ever put those stories together? How in the world did he have any time to lay his hands on a few sick folks and heal them with all that going on? I mean, did you realize they're trying to kill the man and throw him off the... They're going to throw him off the cliff. I don't know whether on the way... Oh, there's a sick one. I don't know how he worked that in. How did he do? Maybe right after he gave the announcement. I don't know. But I do know this. It was not their unbelief that stopped the working of the power of God. It was their unbelief that kept people from coming to receive the power of God. Don't you ever just get it straight. Not once ever did Jesus lose his power to heal the sick. And nobody's unbelief was able to stop him. Amen. Nobody's unbelief can stop you either. Amen. Now, I want to see it even more so. Did you get that part? I mean, if they hate you so much, would you say the atmosphere was charged with unbelief? I remember early days, 25 years ago, Dave talks about this. There was this kind of this move where the man of God, how does Alan do that with the walkie-talkie? Here comes a walkie-talkie. Man of God is being delivered at the hotel. We need two armed guards to walk, or, you know, two guards anyway, to walk with the man of God up to his room. Somebody stay all night in case the man of God wants ice cream at 3 a.m, you know. And they would come out, and they wouldn't visit with anybody before the service because they didn't want you siphoning off that anointing, you know. Well, you might have unbelief. They need that atmosphere, you know. They need an atmosphere that's charged with the presence of God. And here they are about to throw the man off the cliff. And I don't know if they're carrying him towards it or what. And he's, oh, there's a sick one. Be healed. And I don't know exactly. But whoever was there to be healed, they got healed. And the point of today's lesson, the unbelief. You talk about it was the opposite of being charged with faith. The atmosphere was charged with unbelief. And it didn't affect him one little bit. And the days have ended where it's going to affect you one little bit. You got that? How about another one? This is Malchus. You remember when they come to arrest Jesus in the garden? I mean, and all heck breaks out. I mean, Peter draws a sword. Do you think he was aiming for that guy's ear? Peter, you know who Peter is, right? Come here, buddy. I'll show you the love of God. Whoosh! Thank God Malchus ducked and it just got his ear. Now, would you say that atmosphere was, oh, the presence of God was so strong and the angels were singing and I could hear Gabriel's trumpet and the goosebumps were on all the people. Do you think that's the way that atmosphere was? It was pandemonium. I think there was cursing and swearing and fighting and sword slinging. And Jesus goes, he just gets the ear, walks over, come here. Just reattaches Malchus's ear. A miracle. I don't know if you can get a situation with more unbelief. Doesn't affect him at all, and it's not going to affect you at all. Amen. All right, let's look at another one. Let me read my little note. Be turning to Matthew 17. Now, here's my little note. The sick that were there in Nazareth were healed. Unbelief. Now, in, what I mean by that, those that came where he was able to lay his hands on them. Unbelief did not diminish the ability of Jesus to heal. It only prevented the people from coming to him to be healed. He could not do many mighty works there because they were offended at him and did not come to be healed. But everyone that did come, when he laid his hands on them, they were healed. You get that? Doesn't matter that the atmosphere is charged with unbelief and they're about to murder you and throw you off a cliff. Whew, I like this. Okay, Matthew 17. Now, what we're doing this time, we're going to look at a very familiar passage with us. This is the lunatic son. The one, we don't know whether it was epilepsy, but he had seizures. And they brought, you know, Jesus and three disciples were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the rest of them were trying to get this boy delivered, but they couldn't do it. And so when they, you know the story, when they come down off the mountain. All right. Now, oh, you're going to like this. So Matthew 17, we're going to look at his account first. Starting in verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. They knew better than to ask him publicly. And they said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, previously in verse 17, notice he didn't say, you of little faith. He said, oh, ye faithless. And I'm not finding any faith here at all. Boy, that's hard. You've been saying the right things, come out. No doubt they had done the same thing they had done at other times, and they'd seen devils come out. But the manifestations of this boy was pretty strong. We'll see more here in a minute when we read another account. This thing, he would foam at the mouth, gnash with his teeth, roll and flop on the ground. And that devil was doing that on purpose to affect their five physical senses. And it did affect them to the point they got into unbelief. I use the name, but he's not changing. I don't think it's working. That's called being moved by what you see. Isn't that right? You'll see here in a minute, we're going to read another account. That devil tried the same exact thing with Jesus, but it did not move him. All right. So because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now he just got through saying, you guys are faithless. I want to say it a different way. You're being moved by this devil because this devil is trying to make you think he's something big. But I am telling you, if you just have faith in your God, the size of a mustard seed, you'll see how small this devil really is. Amen. If you just have a little faith, just your God is so much bigger than this devil. My name is far above, and they didn't say it this way, but my name is far above all principality and power and might. Have some faith in your God. Don't be moved by what you see. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, this devil, or any other thing that hell has, you remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. It shall remove. It shall remove. Well, I did it, and it didn't. It shall. He's raising up soldiers that are willing to die on the battlefield before they'll throw their gun down and surrender to the enemy. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Can't preach on that right now. Alan did this morning. Remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I'd love to teach on that, but we have much teaching on that passage. Now go to Mark chapter 9. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Mark's account of this same thing, because he gives us a few details that Matthew didn't give us. So Mark 9, starting in verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foams, gnashed with his teeth, and pineth away." You ever seen a HIV person? Or a real extreme drug addict? Boy, they get so skinny. Pineth away, that's what that means. Pineth, this guy, he's just like a skeleton with skin stretched over him. You see this guy so skinny like that, and he's flopping on the floor, rolling into the fire, foaming at the mouth, gnashing with his teeth. I'm drawing this picture on purpose to get you to understand this is what moved them. They had had success before casting out devils, but this devil is trying to make them think that he's something big and bad. And the truth of it is, he's a fallen angel. Got kicked out of heaven a long time ago. And he is nothing up against the power of the Holy Ghost. He's like a gnat compared to the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, just faith like a grain of mustard seed. Come on. Do you know who your God is? Do you know the power that's in the name of Jesus? Anyway. He taketh him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. Now, notice it doesn't say they would not. They could not. What does that tell you? They tried. What I mean is they went through the motions. They had been casting out devils before. But see, words alone are not faith. Words are part of faith. I've had people saying the right things and die many times. But you got to believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Saying with your mouth helps build faith in your heart. But you've got to get to that place where you believe it. It doesn't work. We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. That don't get it done, honey. You better know your God yourself. Know who he has made you. Know the name of Jesus he has given you. Know the authority he has given you over all devils, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're the one in authority when you walk in the room. Cancer has to run like a scalded dog. Devils have to run like a scalded dog. For years, the message here is we brought the grapes for you to look at. There's grapes in the promised land. Someday we're going to live there. That's not the message at the prayer center anymore. The message now is, let us go up at once and take it. We're well able to take this land. We are in the land now. Our God has brought us in. No devil can stand before you all the days of your life. You have the name of Jesus. It's time to go to war. Just like Jesus said, we're going to war to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, deliver the captive, and set at liberty them that are bruised. And every blind person leave seeing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're possessing the land now. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless, here he does it again, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, now notice, soon as that devil sees Jesus, it starts doing the same thing with Jesus that it had done with the disciples. And it's trying to move Jesus based on what he sees. So when he saw him, straightway, immediately, the spirit tear him. He fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. He's trying to move Jesus with these physical symptoms. And it's easy to do. Trust me. I've been in enough hospitals. I've been in enough situations where they look, it's scary to all your senses. He is delivering us past all that. He asked the Father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Oh, here it is. But if thou canst do anything. Now he has some justification because he just got through bringing that boy to the disciples who had a reputation for doing something, who had a reputation for getting it done, and they couldn't do anything. So now he's looking at Jesus. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, now unto him who? Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to that boy's father, right? Now that's going to be important in a minute. Get this. I want you to hear what Jesus says to that father. If thou canst believe, Daddy, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I don't have time to teach on this, but you already know it's true. This is a Jew. He has a covenant with God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. What Jesus is telling him, if you believed, you have a covenant with God, your faith could get your boy whole. Now that's not meant as condemnation for anybody that's lost any relatives. But we can't change the truth of the Word of God. You hear me? Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. That's there to let you know that he's serious. I can relate with this father. You can too. Boy, there's nothing like a child that's sick, much less one that's possessed with a devil. I don't know a parent that wouldn't trade places with their child in a heartbeat. And this guy's no different. He loves his child. He's trying to get help. Boy, don't you think Jesus doesn't have compassion on him either? But now watch this. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, now listen, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Let's pause for a moment. What does he mean, I believe? Because Jesus got through saying, if you believed, your son could be healed. What he's saying is, Lord, I believe, or I wouldn't have brought him to your disciples. But that's where the level of his faith is. He has faith. First, he had faith that the disciples could get him free. Yeah, I don't think he has faith in that anymore. But now he said, I believe, Lord. I wouldn't be still talking with you. I wouldn't have him here. I'm believing as far as I know. This is where I am. And I think it's okay sometimes to be just honest with God. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord refused and walked away and left that boy in that condition. Well, you no good person that had no faith. Did he? You're going to run into a lot of people that are believing as far as they can when they ask you to pray. And when they may not say the actual words, help thou my unbelief. But by their actions, that's what they're saying when they're coming. And you're going to help them just like Jesus did. You hear me? You are going to help their unbelief. Now, unbelief may stop the disciples. Unbelief may stop that father. But I'm telling you right now, unbelief is not going to stop you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, now notice, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, I'm ready for some devils to do some crying. Aren't you? Isn't that what it says? And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. You can't be moved by that either. But Jesus took him by the hand. By the way, that's laying on of hands, whether you like it or not. When you touch them, that's contact and transmission. You got that? Took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, it's obvious that the Father... Let's go one more. Let's do it this way. In every one of the stories and the parables that you read about Jesus, different people identify with different parts. For example, there's some that's going to hear the sound of my voice, and in their mind, they are going to relate with or identify with the afflicted boy. Some are going to identify with that afflicted boy. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, whether you say it's a devil or not, I got this problem. I've always had this problem. Always looking for deliverance. And listen, in this, you can get to the place where you're not accountable. We have a lady who goes to this church whose daughter was born with a partial brain stem. It's enough to keep her physical body alive, to run her heart and her lungs and all those things, you know. But she's not able to read the Bible for herself, okay? She is not going, in her present condition, to be able to stand on her own faith. You understand what I'm saying? Right. But there's people like that. They get so bad, they get beyond where you can reason with them. All right? But I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people that have been, a lot of people that have had long-standing problems, and they're still allowing their past to dictate their future. And they identify with that. And I have no faith. I'm weak. They're always going to seminar, deliverance meeting to deliverance meeting. And if they come to your meeting, you know what's going to happen? They're going to get delivered. This message today, their unbelief is not going to stop you from believing God. He has you there. I want you to start. But let's start having this attitude. Oh, you have me here in this situation because you wanted someone here who will believe. And that's me. Bring that boy to me. Bring that girl to me. Amen? But some are going to identify with the afflicted boy when they read that story. Yeah, that's me. I have all these problems. I've always been this way. And so forth. All right, let's go to number two. Some are going to identify with the Father. And it's either a child or a loved one or a relative or a spouse. And they believe to a certain point. Okay? But they don't have enough faith themselves to get to get it done? They're exactly like that man. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, if you find somebody like that, if the Lord allows you to be the one there, He is calling you to be the one who believes. And don't let their unbelief stop you from believing. Don't let physical manifestations stop you from believing. Remember that grain of mustard seed thing. I don't care what disease it is. I don't care what the symptoms are. I don't care if it's a devil or not a devil. It's still because of the fall. And it is nothing compared to your God. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You'll say to it, and it'll depart. And that shall become normal for everyone in the sound of my voice. He hasn't had you here all these years training you up not to believe. He hasn't had you here all these years cutting away flesh so that you won't sell your prophecies and start taking the credit. And he's been cutting away all that for years, and the time of war has come upon us. And you are the army. God's raising up the army. He's still going to use one-man shows. I don't mean that's not ever going to happen, but that is not his mind for this generation. He is raising up an army. Read Joel again. Even Peter, see, oh no, that's just talking about locusts. No, that's not what Peter thought. On the day of Pentecost, when tongues happened for the first time, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. We ought to go read what Joel prophesied. He prophesied about an army of God that to the enemy is going to look like locusts. And we're coming to destroy the fields of darkness and replace them with fields of light. Glory to God. Some are going to relate with that afflicted boy. Some will relate with the father of the afflicted boy. And that's okay. If that's where you are, whoever's listening, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Listen, he's no respecter of persons. He helped his unbelief. He'll help you too. But let's go to the third one, because this is where the church has been. See, we are, can you tell the messages that are coming forth now? He's raising you up to move to the other side of the line. Now, if you need to be in a line for healing, fine. But he is raising up ministers to work on the other side of the line. He's raising you up to be the one who believes in every situation. Now, the church for too long has related with the powerless disciples. They've even made whole doctrines to justify it. Well, the age of the power has passed away. The age of the apostle has passed away. You know, that's why God gave us doctors now. Oh, good grief. Doctors don't heal. They someone said they practice. Well, but really what doctors do, they do things to help you with the symptoms, or they can set a bone, but they can't heal a bone. God still heals the bone through what he put in you. They can't heal a bone. Now they can set it and hold it together, but they can't heal that thing. Science can't yet even make a seed that will grow. They've tried. You ought to read the tries. Journals, whole journals for centuries have been trying to make a seed that will grow, and they can't make one. Only God makes seed grow. That good stuff or what? See now, You can relate with the afflicted boy. Yeah, that's me. I'm just all messed up. I've always been messed up. My daddy was poor. His daddy was poor. I'm going to be poor. As sickness runs in my family. Y'all remember John G. Lake? He had, please forgive me if my numbers are a little bit wrong. I'm just doing it from memory. But if I remember right, he had 16 brothers and sisters. By the time he was 20-ish, eight of them had died from sickness and disease. He says, what I remember growing up was funerals, coffins, sadness in our house. Till he got hooked up with a man named John Alexander Dowie. And that was the beginning. Healings began to happen, and y'all know the rest of the story of John G. Lake. You don't have to stay the way you are. Some will relate to that afflicted boy. Some will always be, I love my child, relate with a father. You know, you got to... It's really hard when human love, you got to understand, let me say this right now, I'll just go ahead and say this. Most of the time it's harder to get a family member healed than it is a stranger. And you don't know why? Your human love gets in the way. See, God's love, he loves everybody the same. Your love is not like that. Your natural love. Let's see, Alan's message. The natural part of us that has natural emotions, normally you love your child more than you love your neighbor's child. But God loves both children the same. He'll heal both the same. Jesus took the stripes for both the same. It makes no difference. So I'm going to rephrase that. It's just as easy to get your family healed as it is anybody else healed. Because we're going to operate by divine love and not human love. That's better said. But now who God's raising us up to is not to relate with the afflicted boy, not to relate with the father of the afflicted boy, not to relate with the powerless disciples. My Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, That's Hebrews 12:2 for those of you that are keeping notes. Now listen. Unbelief is something to deal with. We have many messages by Pastor Dave and others taught here how to deal with unbelief. He mentioned prayer and fasting. Go back and listen to Dave's messages or Alan's message, whoever has taught on those things to help deal with unbelief. But the end result is always going to be the same. You know what the opposite of belief, unbelief is? It's believing God's word. In the end, you're still going to have to say, what he says is the truth. Say it with me. I am who he says I am.
I have what he says I have.
And I can do what he says I can do.
He has given me authority
over all the power of the enemy.
And nothing
shall by any means hurt me. I have more than a faith as a grain of mustard seed.
I have great faith in a great God.
And when I speak
and I command a devil
or a sickness
or any problem,
when I command it to go,
it goes
in Jesus' name.
That's called faith.
Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say into this mountain and shall believe in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And Jesus said, that's the definition of faith in God. He backs up what you say. But see, what you say is what the kingdom says about every situation. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? You be the one who believes. Be the one who believes. Okay? All right. Now, we brought out the elements for communion today. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I did a series recently on communion. I think they incorporated into the August letter part of that from Dave's ministry. And there's a listing at the end of that letter of the messages. If you did not hear those, I really recommend that you hear them. And if you've only heard them once, I recommend that you hear them again. There is just lots in there. But now, let me start with this. First, are you in 1 Corinthians 11? I got time. We're going to read the whole thing. The part about the Lord's Supper. But before I do that, look at verse 30. This was the one that really, really got me. See, we're always wondering, how is it that my godly Aunt Sarah died? Or godly Uncle Bill? I mean, they've been serving in the church for 20 years, and they love God, serve God. How is it that cancer could just kill them like that, you know? And we don't find very often such specific answers like this one. But this one day, like, stood up off the page. Verse 30. For this cause, many, not a few, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And you know that means they died early. For this cause. Well, that got me looking for the cause. And you back up just a little bit. Well, now this is where we're going to back up and start reading it, okay? Verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. I love how Dave would always say, Paul, it's 2,000 years later. Believe it, Paul. There are divisions in the church. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, now I want you to please notice this. When you come together, in verse 17 he said that you come together. Notice how often this is mentioned, come together. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, get this, and another is drunken. You think we got problems in our church? anyway. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, now, for this cause, now this is part of that cause. This is why we take communion. It's not to have a piece of bread and not to have something to wash it down with. When you take communion and you take the bread, that's why we like to break it. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now notice, which is broken for you. For you. I'll never forget, if I live to be 300 years old, I'll never forget the day that that vision took a life of its own and I saw Jesus at the whipping post. And I knew it was the scourging. I can't even tell you what I saw exactly. It was so bad. And at the worst of it, he turned and he looked to me. He just looked right in my eyes. And he said, do you believe? I'm willing to heal you now. I'll never forget it. He did it for you. This is my body. This is before the cross. This is my body broken for you. And if we don't understand that, we're not taking of the cup and the wafer worthily. We're not remembering this. Do it in remembrance of me. And when you do it and remember him, supernatural healing will flow into your body. But that's not all. He says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Again, he says, this do ye as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. But I'm not worthy to be healed, Brother Gary. I really had a bad week this week. I lost my temper 3 times. I disobeyed God twice. I did all these. I kicked the cat and yelled at my wife. And don't you ever forget the blood that ran down that cross for you. Without that blood, I have no chance. I have no chance at all. I have no chance of making heaven in my own righteousness. I need a Savior. And I don't care how bad it was, and I don't care how quick ago it was. You go to that blood, don't you run from God, you run to him. 1 John 1:9. He not only forgives you, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Don't you run from the blood, you run to it. When you take that cup, you remember. Remember, I remember Jesus. I'm clean. Clean. Clean again. That's why we have that confession in the calling in the lost. I've been freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb in order that my record in heaven be perfect. And because of what Jesus did for me, because of his blood, as far as heaven is concerned, I have never failed God. Now that's remembering. That is remembering. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and he tells you what that is. They were coming in having no respect for that at all. They were just coming in to eat and drink, and some even got drunk. I mean, they're just not giving any respect at all to what he did, and that's unworthily. He's not talking about you being unworthy. He says, don't take communion unworthily when you do it. Do it in remembrance of him. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and again he tells you what that is in the first part of the chapter, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now notice, not discerning the Lord's body. This is my body broken for you. Remember why he did it and receive by faith. Peter said it this way, with his stripes, we were healed. There were no stripes on the cross. There were no stripes on the cross. The stripes came before the cross. He provided healing is in the atonement as much as the forgiveness of sin. But because people don't discern the Lord's body, they don't remember. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, brethren, now here it is again. When you come together, do you see this? When you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Now, I didn't get the import of that for a while. You don't have to come to church to take communion. Some of the greatest faith people we've ever had on planet Earth. Smith Wigglesworth was one. Over and over in his writings, he tells you, he took communion daily. He took it at home. You can do this. Others that I've read after, they do that too. But I do notice in this chapter, several times, communion here, notice again, verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry, wait for one another. What's the image here? We are one body. He started off, there shouldn't be divisions. There shouldn't be factions. There shouldn't be any unforgiveness. There shouldn't be one looking down on another or despising another. When you come together, Christ died for the body. He died for us all. That's part of that judging yourself. If you, as you're about to partake, if you realize you have aught or unforgiveness, first cleanse it in your heart and then go cleanse it in the natural. You know what I mean by that? Go ask forgiveness or forgive. Get rid of it. When we come together, he wants us. There are times like this. Now listen, you can take communion at home anytime you want to. But I see now what Paul is saying. There should be no divisions in the body. When you come together, wait for one another. And we all partake at the same time. Because he died for the whole body. You got that? Let's all stand just out of respect for the Lord. Sue, would you come up and stand by me, please? And I'm going to say it again. The supernatural power of God is going to flow through your body. You hear me? If for this cause many are sick, then when we do it right, for this cause many are healed.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
See that? Now, there's no formula. There's no one correct prayer. I've come up with one for today. You modify it when you do it at home. The point is to remember him, though. Amen? So you might just might lift up the bread and just say with me, Lord, we remember your body broken for us. By your stripes, we were healed. Lord, we remember, and we receive our healing now. As we partake of the bread, with your stripes, we are healed. You may take of the bread. Now hold up the cup. Say, Lord, we remember your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. You have washed us and cleansed us with your own blood. The life is in the blood. And we remember the life you gave us in abundance. Jesus, we remember. And we receive cleansing and restoration to full inheritance now. By your blood, I am forgiven. Now say this with me. It's from Psalms 103. Say, bless the Lord, Oh, my soul.
Forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
I am forgiven.
And I am healed.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name. Wherever you are around the world, God is right there with you. Receive the price that he paid for you. Be forgiven and be healed now in Jesus' name.